All right, let's see. I need Eric and Rachel. Where are you, Rachel? Come on up here, you guys. Come on up. Come on, don't be shy. Come on. Hey, how are you, Bill?
What's up, Jesus? How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Jesus, hey, I'm good.
How are you?
Good to see
you.
I'm good. Hey,
dude, so, okay? Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, happy
that.
Birthday.
Thank you. So, I actually
this
got,
is awesome.
I got gifts for you. I got a couple of gifts for each of you.
You got gifts for us?
I did.
On your birthday?
I did. That's the kind of guy that I am. So.
Like spiritual gifts? Or like
for real, real?
For real, real gifts. They're Ooh. Tangible gifts. So. How about we start with Rachel? That's all right?
Absolutely.
All right, ladies first, right?
Right now?
All right. There you go.
Everyone? Okay.
Hope
I'm
you
so
like
excited.
It.
Oh, I'm going to love it.
What is it? What is it?
I don't know.
I'm excited. You know what's in there, and I'm excited. So.
Wow. It's my favorite.
You like it?
Coke. How did you know? Stupid question.
Yeah.
Stupid question. We're like this. Oh, Jesus, I love it.
I'm glad you like
it.
I looked all over, try to find something for you, and I saw that, and I thought that's perfect for Rachel.
Just adorable. I love it.
All right.
Okay,
I'm glad you like it.
My heart's beating.
Yeah?
20 ounces of Coke.
Right?
Man, how did you know, Jesus?
You like it?
I love it.
Awesome.
Rachel,
awesome.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
You have that little petite can. It's just you. It's small. It's tiny. It's bubbly. It's me. I have this 20 ounces. It's big, strong, manly.
So
Jesus, you are the man.
I want you to know, Eric, again, I looked all over and I thought that was perfect for you. So.
I need to go show my friends, Jesus.
All right. All right.
Rachel, you coming?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm coming right up. Right there.
Hey, Rach?
Yeah.
Rachel? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. Why?
Look, something tells me something's going on. What's up?
Well, if you really want to know.
Yeah, I mean, you seemed happy a minute ago, and now you seem a little upset. What's going on?
Well, no, I was happy. A minute ago, you called us out on stage.
Yeah.
I was all excited. You have this gift for me.
Yeah.
I open it up, and it's 8 ounces of Coke.
Yeah, this is what I got for you. I picked out perfect for you.
And that was all great until Eric opens his gift.
Yeah.
And hello, you gave him 20 ounces of Coke.
Yeah, that was the gift I got for him.
Okay, I don't understand why this always happens.
What do you mean?
Jesus, you always give Eric more than what you give me.
Rachel, you're not supposed to look at that part.
Well, it's kind of hard to miss. It's not fair.
Fair.
No, it's not fair. He got 20 ounces of Coke. For once in my life, I would like what Eric has. So how about if you go get me 20 ounces of Coke?
So you want the gift that I got for Eric?
Yeah, you can call it that if you want. I'd like 20 ounces of Coke.
It's a bit unusual, but I guess for you, I can do that, I guess.
You can, because you're Jesus. You can
do
anything
right
you want.
All right.
I'm going to wait right here. 20 ounces of Coke.
I got a liter. Hi. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, what is this?
Oh, you know, just 1 liter of God's sweet goodness.
God gave that to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I was just passing Jesus, and he gave it to me as a gift.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of Coke, Michaela.
Oh, well, I mean, I love Coke. I mean, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I know, except for when somebody else walks on by here with a bigger bottle of Coke, you're not going to love that one so much.
I mean, I don't know, it's pretty awesome. It's from Jesus. I think that might be a little selfish.
Selfish? Not selfish. It's completely fair.
All right. You ready? Close your eyes. There you go.
Hey, what is that?
That's the 20 ounce that you asked for.
Jesus, is this like some sort of a joke?
No, that's what you asked for. You asked for Eric's gift, 20 ounces.
Okay, you're right, I did.
Yeah?
Okay, but Michaela just came by.
Yeah?
Well, she had 1 liter of Coke.
Yeah, that was the gift I got for her.
Well, I don't understand. Why didn't I get 1 liter of Coke?
Well, because the 8 ounce was perfect for you.
Okay, you know what? Forget about this.
Okay.
Could you go get me what you got Michaela, please?
So now you want what Michaela got?
Yes. 1 liter of Coke.
Okay. All right, Rachel.
All right.
1 liter of Coke.
Okay. Okay. All right. completely understand.
Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know. Look at this thing.
What is that?
I've never seen anything like this. This is like, I just saw Jesus on his way to go do Jesus things, and he's like, poof, here you go. It's like, what is that? I don't even know, 3 gallons? This is amazing.
I didn't even know.
Rachel, look how big this is.
That's huge. That's not even good for you, that much Coke.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I mean, you got that Coke? I mean, 2 ounces?
It's
and I've 8 got...
ounces, Eric.
Oh, it's... I don't know. It's cute, like a little communion Coke or something.
Oh. Isn't that so spiritual of you? Communion ounce of Coke.
Okay. Close your eyes. You ready? Close your eyes.
I don't know. Close your eyes. Am I going to be excited this time?
I hope so. You ready?
I hope so, too.
Okay. Open them.
All right. All right. All right. Hold on.
Yeah? What?
Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad at you.
Are you holding out your best for me on purpose?
Rachel, I'm not holding out my best for you. That's why I got you the gift that I got you.
Okay. Eric was just by. Again. Yeah. With 3 gallons of Coke that he said that you gave to him.
Yeah, that was the gift I got for Eric. It was perfect for Eric.
I don't understand what is going on. Why do you keep doing this?
What do you mean?
Jesus, every time you give us gifts, it's like everybody else just gets more. I want what Eric has and what Michaela has. You know what, Jesus? Actually, I would like 5 gallons of Coke.
5 gallons.
Yes. No. Let's play it safe.
Uh-huh.
10 gallons of Coke. You get me 10 gallons of Coke, and I will be happy.
And then what?
I'll be happy.
10 gallons. That's what you want.
Yes.
Rachel, don't you see what's happening? You're letting other people's gifts steal your joy.
No. Oh, I am not. No, Jesus, what is stealing my joy is the fact that you continue to give everybody else more than what you give me. And for once, I am asking for the same thing. Maybe a little more.
Rachel.
What?
Rachel. Until you can look past this, all you're ever going to see is a Coke.
They were awesome as always, right? Amen. It sounded like a drug deal. Oh, all that Coke. All right. So we have had so many technical difficulties today that weren't here like 2 hours ago. It's just amazing. So the drama team, they handed me just like a low ball skit, like underhanded toss. It's so easy to hit that ball, right? I mean, looking past the gift to see the giver, right? And it's the perfect message for a Christmas time. And believe it's what the Lord wants to say to our hearts today, okay? So if we could just open up 1 John 1, 9 through 11. And Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. It says that the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That's Jesus. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him, right? I mean, just like we saw on the stage, just looking right past the man, unable to even see that he was God himself, given for us, right? The Messiah. And they knew all the things the Messiah would do to bring people back to God, to bring the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons to the fathers. I mean, Jesus was going to break bondage. Jesus was going to open prison doors. He was going to open the eyes of the blind. All the promises of God were going to be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, and they saw him. And basically all they saw was an 8-ounce can of Coke. Right? And then continue on in 1 John 1, 12 to 13, the word says, but all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They're reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So he himself was the gift, right? And we have a way of saying, you know, he's a God of blessing, right? And we can ask him for blessing. So please don't hear in any moment that I'm saying we need to stop asking for blessing. That would be like counterproductive to what the word of God actually says, right? It's all about the attitude that we're bringing here today. And this year's perfect because this year was kind of lousy for a lot of people, right? Kind of disappointing for a lot of people. And it's really easy to look at someone else's blessing when the year's been rather lousy and to be like, God, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing? I'm stuck in my home and I see those people are out. Or, you know, I lose my job and I just see that guy get a raise. Or, you know. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to look at what you don't have and to believe, God, are you mad? God, are you upset? God, are you trying to drive home a point? Can you just make your point? You know, the angels that announced that Jesus was coming, he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, upon all whom God is happy. He was letting us know already, it's dark place, this planet, and I'm sending my son to save you. But before you ever hear that he's going to take away your sins, you need to hear, I love you and I'm happy with you. Do you know what I'm saying? Amen. Before you ever get anything from the Lord, you need to hear and understand and internalize and accept, I love you and I'm happy with you. There's nothing between us, right? Amen. Do we have a natural carnal bent in all us as humans to just like miss God? Yeah? Do we fail to appreciate all the way he's moving simply because we don't recognize what he's doing? Yep. Okay, you're on the same page. You know, 1 John 1:14 continues on, and it says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of grace and truth. Can you say full of it? He was full of grace and truth. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And from his abundance, we have received all, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Did you catch that last verse? From his abundance, we've received one gracious blessing. So the Lord is giving out blessings one after another to us, right? But you know where it comes from. You know where it comes from. From his abundance. That's his nature. That's who he is. He is the God of abundance. And he stepped into our world and said, let my abundance fill everything that's missing. And then the blessings come, right? But we gotta, I just want to challenge you, man. We are going to believe for big things this next year, right? We have to. Really, you can't go much further down from here, right? For a lot of people, I loved 2020, by the way, but, right? I mean, we can't go much further down. Hopefully we can't. So we have to believe for bigger. We have to believe that God's going to come through and he's going to heal. And we have to believe God's going to put our country together. He's going to unify people. He's going to build his church, right? We have to believe he's going to reach the lost, especially when the world is separated. Like, they're not coming together at all, right? We have to believe God is not dependent upon our being face-to-face and still making an impact, right? Amen. Amen. And so we have to come to the one, and before we receive the blessing, we have to recognize and love him for being the God of abundance. You are the abundant one. You stepped into my lack with all of your abundance and just plopped yourself down on my messy couch and said, hi, I'm here. Right? Right? Amen. So, you know, one of the goals of this discussion will be to separate his abundance from what we do or do not receive. The ability to maybe even not receive something you wanted and to be able to still recognize, God, I love you. You're a God of abundance. Right? If you got an 8-ounce can or if you received the 3 gallons, right? God, thank you. You're a God of abundance. I thank you for the thing, but really, I'm really thankful for is who you are for me. Yeah. Well, it's a return to gratitude is what we're doing here, right? A return to gratitude. You know, when it says Jesus was full of grace, that word is charis. We like to translate it in our language gift, which is funny in and of itself. He was full of it. He was a gift, right? Charis. What is grace, though? And you know, the simple plug-and-play solution is, it's the words that everybody says, that's unmerited, you know, grace and favor from the Lord, which it is, right? Can't argue it. Sorry if I changed my voice. But if we could read Titus 2, 11 to 12, it says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So grace is so much more than the, oops, you screwed up and I forgive you. Grace is such an amazing gift through Jesus. He is grace. He's full of grace. He's the one who walks into your brokenness and says, you know what? Not only am I going to save you, but I'm going to train you to renounce the thing that broke you. I'm going to train you. What is training? It's the process of building up until you can do things more independently and more strongly and passionately than you've ever done before. Training is empowering. He's empowering us to renounce the stuff that broke us in the first place. Right? Right? That's a gift, and he was full of that grace. Yes. God, I thank you. You should have saw, there was this one time this woman was in my living room and she had, she was so addicted and broken in this moment that she came and a friend brought her because, you know, she was attempting suicide. And she grabbed her and pulled her into the living room and we're just praying. And she goes, I know God has grace for me and he's going to forgive me. But I keep going back to the same mess over and over. And I keep finding myself ashamed and then receiving forgiveness and then going back and doing it again. And it keeps going in circles. And she's like, I guess I'm thankful for his grace. I just wish I had more. And then I pulled out this verse. I said, do you understand what you have when Christ gave you grace? It trains you. It empowers you to say no to worldly lusts and passions and to live self-governing, upright, godly life, self-controlled, right? Do you understand what you received when you received his grace? It was so much more than just forgiveness. Like, you received the grace to say, I'm done. I'm walking away. I'm renouncing it. I'm not going back. And that night, I mean, it was amazing to watch, like, she just kind of, like, delivered that night, right? Never gone back to any of that stuff. The Holy Spirit just met her in that moment, and she married a police officer not long. she's got built-in accountability, and and now she runs a ministry for drug addicts. And it was just so cool to watch the grace of God when she understood the gift that she was given. She was looking at it and saying, I got an 8-ounce can. And it was like, but do you understand what you could do with 8 ounces? Right? Wow. Right? And she got it, and it changed everything. It was so cool just to watch the Lord do that, okay? And I just want to say, where is it that we miss it? When we compare what we have, what we don't have, we're kind of quibbling. We feel sorry for ourselves. We're like, God, you know, this is not really my best Christmas. This has been a tough year. It's like, don't you understand what I've given you? I came into your life. I was full of grace. And then there's one more. Full of truth. Full of truth. Do you know how you live a life being lost? It's not knowing truth, right? The world didn't recognize him when he walked in because the world doesn't speak truth, does it? The world speaks whatever it needs to convey what it wants to convey. And Jesus, you know, he ticked off a lot of people by simply speaking truth. But the truth is, hey, there's a God. He may seem unknowable, but he is completely willing and open and inviting you to know him, right? The unknowable God made himself knowable. And the God who said, you know, you keep lying to yourself and you keep, you know, you live in this place of feeling sorry for yourself, but don't you understand the truth is I love you. The truth is I'm for you and not against you. Right? The truth is nothing can separate me from your love. That's the truth. You know, Pilate, in John 18, 37, when he met Jesus, he's like, so you're a king, right? So you're the guy. Should I be impressed? And Jesus responded, you say I'm a king. Why did he say that? Because he's like, I could care less about titles, really. He's like, I wasn't here to wear a crown and be somebody. I was actually born. I came into the world to testify to the truth. That's my job. If you want to call me a king because I can speak truth and you can't, awesome. But if you can't, I'm still the truth teller, right? And Pilate, who is the guy who should have been calling the shots here, and should have been the one who really knew people's true motivations and where they really stood on the issues, you know, said, what is truth? I mean, he's just like so disillusioned. And doesn't he represent the world? Like, really, what is truth? What is truth? I can't even watch two different news broadcasts and get the same story. What is truth? Neither am I, right? I mean, you know, if I was to ask somebody else's opinion, it's an opinion, but, you know, I could believe that and internalize some of the things people say and really believe some pretty harmful things, right? That's why we have the lover of our soul dedicated to speaking truth. And he's full of love, and so his truth doesn't hurt. It challenges. It chafes sometimes. It stretches. It makes the little spoiled brat inside of a scream. But it's for our good, and in the end, it brings promotion and freedom and blessing and relationship, right? And life. Amen. So without truth, there's no hope, because if you can't evaluate like a better tomorrow, if you can't even get a good bead on what is the truth of today and where I'm at in my status in this moment right now, right? And some of us are living out of like lies that we've believed since we were little kids that have shaped who we are and how we see the world. We don't even know any different. It's like, that's normal. That's truth to us. And then he steps in and he shows us like, no, that's not truth. And you shouldn't be satisfied with that. And therefore, I can give you a better tomorrow because you can actually recognize the truth of today. Right? Amen. Amen. So, you know, I'm going to skip a verse, but John 1:17, still rolling with where we left off. The law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus. So we're looking for unfailing love and faithfulness. He's our guy. That means we're done with the struggle to try to please God and earn his love. That's done. That's so Old Testament, right? Because of Jesus, there's no more earning anything. Because of Jesus, there's no more feeling like you missed out on the gift that someone else received. Being afraid. God is like, you no longer do I call you afraid, a slave to fear. No longer, right? I came in and I showed you that you are faithfully loved, you know, unshakably loved. Right? Thank God. Thank God. No more chasing blessings. Oh, Jesus, I want more. Oh, Jesus, stop it. We're not slaves. Right? We're sons. We're sons. And this is the last thing I'm going to leave you with, because I know we've got kids in the room. And by the way, kids, you are doing absolutely amazing. You really are. So you remember the story of the prodigal son, and the prodigal son, you know, takes half of the inheritance of his father, runs out, spends it on everything that makes him happy temporarily, loses all the money, comes back home and says, Dad, I lost all the money. I don't even deserve to be your son anymore, right? Can you just make me like a servant in your house? And that way I'll be fed, and I know this is a good family, it's a safe place. Can you just bring me back to just that? It's my roots. I need to come home. Right? And the father, of course not. You're my son, and like, everybody, let's party. You're my son. You're coming back, right? I'd like to stop and focus on the older brother then, the reaction of the older brother to watching the mercy and the unfailing love of God poured out on a broken person. You'd think the brother would be like, yes, he's back, right? Hmm? Who said no? You've read this before. Spoiler alert. So, John 15:29, the brother replies, do I have a slide for that? It disappeared? Huh, there it is. The brother, he replied, all these years I've slaved for you. Does that trigger something? Slaved? Not I've sunned for you. Right? It shows you right where he's coming from. It's that can't look past the can, can't see the face of God and the love of the Father saying, man, I'm so proud of you, my son. You didn't screw up, and I'm so proud that you held, right? He's just, I'm slave for you. Never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Doesn't even matter. He's feeling like, God, you never really gave me anything, right? We can all do that. We've all got stuff like blessings in our life, and it's like, what is the, you know what? You never even gave me a goat, right? You didn't even give me a pizza. And the father said, son, not my little slave boy, right? Son, this is King James because he said it the best. Thou art ever with me, forever. You're forever with me, and all that I have is yours. It belongs to you. Like, I don't have to give you a thing. It's already yours because you're my son. It belongs to you already. What are you grabbling about? Like, what are you missing out on when the whole place is yours? Everywhere you walk, every hole you dig, every poop you throw, every goat you brush, they all belong to you, right? So stop looking at this and look at who I am in your life. Right? It's a return to gratitude. So you know, right now I'd like to just offer the opportunity to accept and draw close to what God is offering, this return to thankfulness. And I'm not saying that all of us have left, but I just want you to just hold that out there before the Lord right now and say, God, did I lose track of my thankfulness? And can I return just like the son? And just, I want to be back in right where I belong. And that's in your presence as a son, as a daughter. I'm done with earning. I'm done with worrying about what I don't have. I'm done looking for a solution that I have to perform all on my own because you're not showing up and doing it for me. And I'm just going to rejoice and love you where you're at and how and where you're at in me. God, we receive you once again with the excitement that we received you with on the first day. That you came and you forgave us and you changed everything and you gave us hope and you gave us a future and purpose and you've connected us with the Father. We hear his voice. We feel the burning of our heart as we celebrate in your presence. We know that we are sons and daughters and that makes all the difference and we're grateful. Oh God, we do ask that you supply for our needs, but we already know that you know what we need before we even ask, and yet you're still bringing us to that place to ask so that we can just seek you and Lord, love on you and watch you go and watch you do what you need to do to help us, Father. But Lord, we're looking past the coke today and we're looking straight into your face. We say thank you. Lord, we love you. You're our wonderful counselor. You're our mighty God when we need a mighty God. You're our Prince of Peace when we've lost our peace. You're the everlasting Father when we feel like slaves, we lost track of our sonship. And we are with you forever and all that you have is ours. We're so grateful for that. And Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come and make a way, that you would share what you had with the Father and give it to us, your creation. We thank you for grace. It's aggressive. It trains us. It empowers us. It doesn't only forgive us. We thank you for truth. It's spoken into our life. And Lord, though it even stings for a little second, it just brings us up and makes us more whole. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate Christmas with our families and as we pass out the gifts and we eat the food and we do the thing, that God, you just allow us to experience the joy of knowing that we are sons and daughters of you and that, Lord, we'd hear your voice and we'd connect with you because you really are what it's all about. And our hearts are at home when we're on track and locked in and abiding in you. Oh, be blessed, my Father, in your precious name. Amen. 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 I would love to call up the girlies who are going to lead us in the song Hallelujah. Oh, there you are in the front. We have two microphones specially for you. And you guys don't have to stand up, but you know the song Hallelujah. The words are Hallelujah, Hallelujah, right? And when that part of the song comes, the chorus, just sing along with them, okay? All right.
Thank you.
Good. So good. Amen. Very cool. Thank you for practicing and sharing with us. All the kids, thank you so much for practicing your songs and sharing with us. Just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. We have cookies and refreshments in the fellowship hall if you would like to come. And hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you guys.